Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Would you serve food that dropped on the floor in your home if you had people over for dinner? Would you taste food directly from a spoon if you were cooking and then just stick that spoon back into the pot, double dipping? Turns out 28% of you do. 1 in 6% of you have served that meat that you've dropped on the floor. This is a survey that's been carried out today, looking at all of the do's and don'ts if you're inviting people over for Christmas dinner, or maybe you're hosting a festive dinner party. Tara O'Connor from The Design Table is with me today on the programme, because Tara, you're a regular dinner host. Are you guilty of double dipping?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Absolutely not. No, I'm a clean freak, and I wouldn't be going to a dinner party in someone's house if the kitchen was dirty.
You know the person.
Yeah, like, well, surely, you know, like, dinner parties are sadly getting rarer and rarer. Our tradition is dine, which is a pity. And then, you know, people don't just call to each other's houses the way they used to, you know, in years gone by. But I do think, you know, someone's kitchen, you know, your friend's kitchen. So, you know, and you know if they're a cook and you know if they're a clean cook, which is really important. And if food drops on the ground, oh my God, no, in the bin. I mean, I understand with kids, we say 3-second rule, but it's different. Like, you're hosting people in your home and you should be careful of food poisoning.
Yeah, so the food on the floor is a no for you, as is
100%.
Dipping the spoon into the pot, licking it into your mouth, and then straight back into the pot.
I always do taste sauces and, you know, food, just to make sure, you know, consistency and texture is right. So you get your spoon, you then put it in the dishwasher or the sink, you know, you don't put it back in the pot.
Yeah, so you're using about 14 teaspoons then throughout the course of the prep of this.
Yes, and that's one thing, loads. I always use loads and loads of spoons, so I always double my spoons because I would entertain a lot. You know, but you have to think of your, you know, you have to think of the safety of your guests. I mean, I was at a dinner party once and I got food poisoning.
Really? Did you tell the host?
It was awful. In a roundabout way, but I saw it. They kept opening and closing the oven, checking the oven for a salmon. It was a salmon en croûte. And I've never been so ill in my life. I'll never forget it. And I, you know, things like that, like, you put food in an oven, you time it. So I, like, lists are so important for dinner parties. You don't keep opening and closing oven doors, especially when there's fish in there.
Should remain closed all the time.
Once you know your timings, and once, like, if you're a good cook, but just have your list and just be careful of things that can, you know, cause bacteria in foods.
Andrew Rudd is chef and director of the Medley restaurant. Andrew, what are the common do's and don'ts that we make if we're hosting or having people over for dinner?
Good afternoon. You made reference to licking and, you know, double dipping, and just be really careful. Like, double dipping with teaspoons is kind of like, it's potentially really damaging. You're talking about flu viruses, type 1 herpes, streptobacteria, herpes B, herpes C, colds, flus. You just don't double dip, because what you don't want to do is have your guests 2 or 3 days after a dinner party in an awful state where they're too embarrassed to tell you that they were getting sick. To be honest, it's very rare that it happens, as long as you keep a nice, safe, clean kitchen. Clean as you go. And I think what tends to really kind of, like, freak people out when it comes to entertaining and dinner parties is the potential damage that can be created by introducing foodborne bacteria, and by also having people going home sick. Just avoid it. And if you can basically adhere to some very, very simple, you know, kind of strategies, such as clean as you go, have lots of lists, prep as much as you can in advance. Like, my advice when having a dinner party is prep everything beforehand. And then what you do is you assemble the dishes on the day. You know, you can have your veg ready, you can have your potatoes ready, your meat ready, and make it fun. You know, don't stress about it.
How can you have all of that ready on the day, though, Andre?
Easily. So, again, referring back to having lists. So if you're putting if you're creating a menu, my advice is to have an A4 sheet and have split it into 4 boxes. Top left box, fruit and veg. Top right, meat. Bottom left, dairy. And the bottom right, others. So list everything that you need to buy. Go to the supermarket, because the fruit and veg is all in one area. The meat is in the one area. Come home. put everything into the fridge, and you can actually prep things like, if you're putting tender stem broccoli on, you can blanch it for a minute and then submerge it into cold water with ice, dry it off into the fridge. All you need to do is to refresh that in a frying pan with some olive oil for about 2 minutes. It's done. Potatoes can be done the day before. You can do a lovely dish like potato dauphinoise, and that can be cooked off, baked even 3 days before you're having the dinner party, and then you regenerate it in the oven, you reheat it in the oven. Things like, for example, if you're doing, for instance, a steak, you can sear the steaks beforehand. When we're doing large parties in Medley, for, let's say, for the sake of argument, 150 people, we'll sear the steaks in the afternoon. Now, unfortunately, many domestic kitchens won't have, the machinery and equipment,
of course, yeah,
to be able to bring it down in temperature. But if you bring it down naturally in temperature into the oven, you can do that the day before. And if it's on a baking tray, so if it's, let's say it's a ribeye steak, sear it the day before in butter and garlic and thyme, some fresh rosemary, let it cool down naturally, wrap it in cling film, tin foil, into the fridge, take it back out maybe an hour before you're going to be having your guests over, bring it to room temperature, take the tin foil off, take the cling film off, set your oven. It's always really important to have the oven set at the temperature you want it. So maybe 10 minutes out, 200 degrees, 6 minutes, in you go, and your steaks are done. And then you time everything. Come back to your menu, and you can actually work out the timing. So let's say you're having canapés, starter, main course, dessert. Work out what time you want to serve at. So if you're serving the main course at 8, you know you need to have the potatoes in 30 minutes beforehand. You know your steaks are going to be in 8 minutes beforehand. And it's just a question of a little bit of military precision. And if you can enjoy that process, you're not going to get really stressed on the day.
Tara, how common are dinner parties still?
They're not as common as they used to be. There definitely are. I call them an art. They are dying. And it's just, I think people like to bring people out more so than bring people in, because people are genuinely afraid of hosting a dinner. I had a dinner party for 12 on Saturday, and I cooked everything from scratch, shopping everything. I did in the one day because I didn't have time to do the day before, which is unusual. I agree with Andrew that do as much as you can the few days before. But I said to everyone around the table, okay, there's a challenge for all of you now. You have to invite all of us back. We're all neighbours. To dinner in your house. And they all gasped, oh, I couldn't do this at all. People are afraid because we don't cook the way our moms did. We don't, because women work now. You know, many years ago they didn't. I grew up in a house where my mom always had dinner parties. It's just, we're busy. I mean, with kids and families, life is just busier. And I think
people want to meet up, they tend to go out for dinner. But funny you say that. I have a text from a listener who says, a group of four of us did a come dine with me this month. It was absolutely brilliant fun. But the stress of hosting it, though, was pretty incredible. I would love, for years, I'm saying, I would absolutely love to do a come dine with me type, dinner party.
But it's as stressful as you make it, because Andrew's right, it's lists, I start the week before. I write a list. I send my invite out a month in advance. I order my meat and my fish the week before, try and make your dessert the day before, set your table the day before. A relaxed hostess will set the tone for the night. And if you're as a hostess are stressed, your guests won't enjoy it, and your food won't be on time, and it won't be cooked properly. So that's why, do a trial run with four people, and then you can bring it up to six. And at the end of the day, if they're your friends around the table, they won't comment, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Well, you don't need everything to match. You don't need a menu to be perfect.
No, this listener says, I'm hosting my first dinner party next week, Andrew, and I'm wondering, will I do the kind of picky bits for when people arrive, or will I just go straight to the main course?
No, do you know what? It's lovely having the little canapés and bits and pieces. You could have a little charcuterie board, which is really easy to do as well. So have some lovely little antique cups and saucers, and you can have in the saucers, you can have some hummus and some baba ganoush, and you can have some sliced aubergine. Have some nice wooden boards with some fresh salamis and meats, and then people can just graze. And that's really easy. You can actually do that the morning of the party, wrap it in cling film, leave it in the fridge. Do you know what's a really nice idea? And I encourage people to do it all the time. If you're having a dinner party and you're doing the cooking yourself, because sometimes people think it's cheating by buying elements. It's not really, but, you know, it's helpful.
Well, what about this listener who says we host dinner parties, but we all order a takeaway? Everybody orders their own, so there's no stress even with the washing up.
Do you know what I did? When my parents had their 20th wedding anniversary, which is a long time ago now, I was 9, and I said to Mum and Dad, because I loved cooking back then, I said, listen, I'm going to do a dinner party. I'm going to invite your friends. You have to do nothing. You just turn up. So I basically, in the sitting room where we grew up in County Offaly, I changed it into a restaurant. I went overboard, and I actually asked each of Mum and Dad's friends to do a different course. So one person did canapés, one person did a starter. My mum went absolutely, she went nuts that I had the audacity to ask their friends to bring elements. But it worked. They sat down. I just organized it. I was the general organizing the dinner.
Yeah, no, sure. They thought that you, as the chef, you see, that you'd had it all done for them. They were expecting
it. Yeah, but do you know what? I was being lazy. But do you know what? The other really good thing to do, and it's a really good bit of advice, get a professional waiter in for the night who'll take the stress away. So they'll do the serving, the clearing, the washing up. It doesn't even need to be a professional waiter. It could be a son or daughter of a friend who's in university, who has the cop on to know what they're doing. And it means you can enjoy the party. Throw them €80 at the end of the night and they do the washing up. And do you know what? It's a really good little
Did you
tip.
Hire somebody in, Tara, last weekend?
Yeah, so my rule is if it's over 8 people, I do that. I don't generally do, I always do like a starter, main course and dessert. I definitely don't do canapés. No, I just put some nuts and crisps on the table. And or what Andrew's saying about antipasti is nice there, but I even think it's easier just to serve a plate, because then you're clearing away a plate. A cold starter, I always say, because you can have it done and ready in the fridge to go and pop straight on the table. And yeah, I always get anything over 8, a waiter. It's the best money you'll
spend. Well, I have clearly never been then to a proper dinner party if people are actually hiring professional waiters in to help out on the day. But I'm dying to go to try one then if this is the case. This listener says, my parents used to always have dinner parties. I haven't heard of anybody having one for about 10 years. Bring back the dinner party. Once a month, somebody from our friend group hosts a dinner party. We do it on the first Friday of every month. It's brilliant. Dinner, drinks and a few games. This listener's gotten in contact though to say, like, you know, when you're talking about people licking and sucking the excess food from their fingers, it absolutely disgusts me. And what do you do if your host who's invited you over does it all of the time? I absolutely dread the invites. Noel has gotten in contact to say, on the topic of double dipping, I'm delighted to hear that actually that this is such an issue for people. Noel says, I was in a hotel breakfast room once, and when I walked in, an old fella went up to the self-service buffet where the fruit bowl was with his own spoon, and he sampled the contents of every single bowl. But Paddy in Cork has got in contact to say, dinner parties and Trump on the TV, the 1980s are on the phone wondering where everybody went to.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.